Okay.
You know the agenda that we set?
I think that we will do roll call. We will approve the agenda. We will have a guest. We will have a report from Ursula on the NFCB. We will have a report from Ursula and Janice Lane Ewart on the affiliate situation, you know, general situation, and the GRC. And then the sixth item will be the survey. And the seventh item will be, I guess, action items, people who've taken responsibilities. And then number eight will be confirm our next meeting. And then number nine will be adjourn. Is that okay?
Teresa, if I may ask if one of the agenda items can reference back to what we discussed, and that would potentially be the election of committee chair. And if not for this meeting, then I would propose that we add it for the next agenda.
Well, perhaps let's make that item number six then, right after the report from Ursula on the affiliates situation in GRC with Janice, and then the survey will be number seven. I'll just move it down. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
So, item number six is the chair.
Janice? Thank you. Yes.
Point of information. I'm sorry. Adriana Casnay, KPFT. I don't know where is the agenda. I didn't receive any agenda, and I checked in the web page like an hour ago.
It was not posted because there was no general agreement, and we've not elected a chair, and so there was no posting of the agenda because we formally have a chair.
Okay, then.
On behalf of the group, I can only apologize that we have not done so. And with the election of a chair, then the probability of having an agenda posted prior to a meeting is likely to happen next time.
Okay.
Well, I talked to Heather earlier this week, and she said she was going out of the country, and she said that she was going to work on an agenda, and I thought that she would be sending it out. She sent something out at 2:37 today, and she said, as you all know, I'm traveling. However, Teresa and I talked briefly about the agenda. Teresa, please include in the agenda a report about the NFC meeting. I know Ursula will mention this in a report, but you should include a report from Janice about this as well. Part of the report will include, importantly, something about underwriting project, which should be mentioned as well. So it's my apologies. I thought that she was going to send it out.
So. That sounds great. So we've got enough to move ahead.
Okay. Can you send it now, please?
I tell you what, we have a guest at 7:30 in 10 minutes. I will get the agenda and I will send it out so you have it by the time our guest finishes speaking. Does that sound
perfect.
Okay?
Perfect,
okay.
Thank you.
But I will read it, I will do roll call right now, and then I will read the agenda, and then our guest should be on and I'll send it out. So, shall I start with roll call?
Sure. Yes, please.
Okay. Do we have Chandra Hoffman here? Okay, no. Cynthia Johnson? No. John Crumshaw? No. Ankina Antaram? Ankine, are you here? No. Steve Pride? Kim Kaufman? No. Michael Novick?
Present.
Thank you, Michael. Teresa Allen is present. Jessica Polinar? No. Maria Elena Castellanos? No. Adriana Casanabe?
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you. Carolyn Burden? No. Serene Roberts? Not hearing her. Sean Rhodes?
I'm here.
Thank you, Sean. Reggie Johnson? No. Frank Lefevre? No. I do not have anyone from WPFW, but I want you to know I did call someone, Jim Brown, and he said that he will find out if there's anyone interested from WPFW in attending our meetings. Is there anyone on the call from WPFW? Okay, hearing none. Janice Lane Ewart?
Present.
Heather Gray is excused, out of the country. Dina Colbert?
Here.
Thank you, Dina. Ursula Rudenberg?
Here.
Thank you, Ursula. Okay, now I'm going to read to you our agenda. The roll call, approve the agenda, a guest. Can you tell me, Ursula, who the guest is right now?
It's Carol Quitman from it's Carol Blackman from Quitman Community Development Organization and State Representative Robert Jackson, both from Clarksdale, Mississippi.
Clarksdale,
Mississippi.
All right. If you can possibly send me the spelling of their names, I will put that in what I just sent out to the task force. Okay, item number four on the agenda is a report on Ursula Rudenberg on NFCB. Number five is Janice Lane Ewart and Ursula Rudenberg report on the affiliate program and GRC. Number six is the situation involving the chair of the task force. Number seven is the survey. Number eight, action items. Number nine, discuss our next, confirm our next meeting. And number 10 is adjourned. Okay? So, Matt, I will begin with the agenda, which I just read to you. Does anyone have anything to add to this agenda?
No.
Okay. That's been approved then without objection. It's time for our guests. Are they on the call? We have 7 minutes.
It's about 7 minutes before they're going to show up.
Do you think we want to start now to discuss the NFCB while we're waiting on them to come on the call, or what do you suggest? How do you suggest we fill the 7 minutes?
Yeah, we can do that. Is that okay with you, Janice?
That's fine. I'm confident we can cover that in 7 minutes.
All right. Okay.
So the National Federation of Community Broadcasters meetings was held 2 weekends ago, and it was in Resden, Virginia, which is a community outside of Washington, D.C. And I presented in two different settings. The day before the conference started, there was an intensive for low-power community, new low-power stations that are being built. Some of you, I think, know that the FCC just went through a filing window for low-power stations, and to date, 1,200 construction permits have been issued to community groups for building low-power community radio stations. So it's a whole new wave of community radio stations. So we did an intensive for them with that was with the Radio for People Coalition. And I did three presentations, one on effective leadership and management, second was on planning your program schedule, and third was on community outreach and fundraising. And then I met some really great folks. There was about 20 stations there. And then Janice helped me lead the affiliates meeting. The Pacifica always has an affiliate meeting at the NFCB conference, and it's considered a major meeting point of the year for us and our affiliates to see each other in person and those that are at the conference. Janice was kind enough to drop everything and come to the conference because Chris Ling, my assistant, resigned his position. And it was actually really great to have Janice there. It was, I think, a very helpful thing. Other people from Pacifica at the meeting were Dwayne Bradley from KPFT, Tony Norman from WPFW, and I'm embarrassed. I keep forgetting Peter's name. Peter, who is on the LSC of WPFW, and I apologize to Peter. I can't remember his last name. Brian DeShazer was supposed to be there, but he broke his jaw that morning.
Ooh.
Or the day before, and so was not able to present. And what we spoke at the meeting, there were it was a well-attended meeting. I would say there was 30 to 50 people. Would you say that's correct, Janice?
Yes, I would say that's correct, and it's certainly one of the larger ones in the last 2 years.
Yeah, and essentially at the meeting, we presented the group underwriting project proposal and went through the PowerPoint presentation and spoke in general about cooperation throughout the network to help us all mutually raise money. We discussed the car donation project. The director of that program was there. And we honored we always honor one affiliate, and this year we honored Joseph Orozco, who's the station manager of our tribal station in Hoopa, California, who is retiring in a few years. And Janice, would you like to say something else about the meeting?
I would say that it was very productive and that we got very sound feedback from the affiliate representatives in terms of who at their station is responsible for managing earned income with regards to underwriting. There was a very definite agreement that all those present were very interested in participating and would follow up with any information that we needed from them to move ahead in solidarity and piloting the process. And I say this with no ill will meant. We ended on time.
Yeah, we did. We did. And I think there was generally a very good feeling in the room, right? I felt
yes.
that
it was very positive.
Yeah, it was sober, but positive. And as usual, it's just very inspiring to be with these people and to see how focused they are on, you know, doing whatever it takes to move forward with Pacifica and keep this show on the road. So it was great. Also, there was a representative there of France 24, which is a new service coming out of Paris, and he spent quite a bit of time with me after the meeting proposing that their organization distribute their news through Pacifica, and they are going to be sending us a proposal for that. And they don't have a full new English newscast, but they have, I think, what amount to one or two headline news services per day that they could send to us in English, and some feature stories, you know, for like hour-long feature stories. So they're interested in starting to work with us, and we'll see where that goes. I'm waiting for his proposal. Very nice man.
And I'll add to that, Ursula. One of the aspects, if I'm remembering correctly, is that their service also provides that content in a number of other languages,
yes.
several of which are contained within many of the affiliate stations, particularly Spanish and French, but then there were also several of the languages that we use at KFBI, which was very rewarding to know that they're making that kind of content available in so many different languages.
Yeah, yeah. So that's pretty great. And that would be and they would not charge us for this service. So it was a good relationship to start. And I'm hoping for the best, you know, I'm hoping that it'll continue. Otherwise at the conference, we did a lot of promotion of the Grassroots Radio Conference and it did a lot of work to get a buzz started there. I met with the Radio for People Coalition to talk about their planning an intensive for the Grassroots Radio Conference in August, for new low power stations. I think a lot of low-power stations that were not able to afford the NSCB conference were looking to come to the Grassroots Radio Conference. And we have some really exciting people from the Radio for People Coalition working on planning that intensive for them. And I also had some time to meet with Joel, who's the director of AMPERS, who's been helping us to develop the group underwriting project, and that was very helpful, kind of working out the devil in the detail kind of stuff that, you know, has to be done in order to prepare for launching the underwriting project. So it was good to spend some time with him and kind of work on some of the areas that his main point to me was that it was very important to buy the software that can help us manage the, you know, the trafficking of the underwriting clients from the beginning so that it doesn't get out of control. And I take that feedback very, very seriously. We did submit a budget to Pacifica National, and that budget should be able to include payment for that kind of software. So I'm hoping for the best. I have not heard yet from the executive director about the budget, but I'm hoping that we can go ahead with that. The budget basically creates a ratio of the affiliate program giving about 55% of its income to Pacifica and asking to be able to keep the rest in order to fund the program.
And just for the record, Ursula, I'll tell the listeners that the software is called Natural Laws, and I think for those who are listening to the stream, it'd be helpful if you give the exact dates and location of the Grassroots Radio Conference.
The Grassroots Radio Conference is going to be August 14th through 17th, and I think that those of you who get the listserv saw that I sent out a link yesterday. We got some national coverage for Pacifica, some good press for a change. Basically, you know, through Radio Survivor, .org, which is a news website about radio, and they commended Pacifica for supporting the Grassroots Radio Conference and providing the sponsorship that it is. So I also posted the link to the website for the Grassroots Radio Conference. And for those of you who are interested in being involved, please take a look at the website. And right now, the way that you can really help is by really promoting this conference to folks at your station. And you can copy the link, and I don't know if it would be helpful to you for me to write a quick blurb that you could pass on in an email. I'd be happy to do that, but I'd like to, you know, hear whether some of you in this meeting are willing to kind of help us get the word out, because right now that's what we need to do.
And so because you're so close to it, Ursula, it probably just kind of rolls off your head. It's going to be in Ames, Iowa, which I don't think I heard you say.
Oh, yeah. It'll be August 14th through 17th here in Ames, Iowa. We pretty much have the logistics under control. The you know what? I'm going to skip out for a minute because the our guests are calling me. I think they're having trouble. I'll be right there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll just follow up and say that the tone of the NFTB conference was high-spirited. The highlight was a very in-depth and very powerful delivery from Donna Brazil. She talked about the importance of democracy in media. She made some very cogent points about the need for radio stations as delivering the word from the people to the people to make sure that it was moving ahead technologically to be able to present the word, so to speak, in as many on as many platforms as possible, and reaching the young to the seniors, and spoke quite a bit about the role of working in community to ensure that we have as much information as possible to manage what we do best in our communities.
So I think our guest has joined us. Carol, are you there? Hello?
Hello there.
Hello.
Hello there.
Carol?
Let me get the ladder off.
Hello? Hello? Hi, Ursula?
Yes.
It's Carol Blackman.
Hi, and Carol. Hi. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
And Robert Jackson.
Excellent. So let me introduce you. You're in a meeting with six other people.
Okay.
And they can introduce themselves to you, but let me first introduce you. This is Carol Blackman, and she is from a town in the vicinity of Clarksville, Mississippi, and she's with an organization called Quitman County Development Organization, which is kind of an organization resulting from the Civil Rights era, if I'm not mistaken. And also she's accompanied by Mr. Representative Robert Jackson, who is a representative to the Mississippi State Senate. And I'll let you guys introduce yourselves to them, and then they can explain to you what happened in regards to radio.
May I ask a question? As a secretary, may I ask two questions first, Ursula? Can you spell Carol's last name?
B-L-A-C-K-M-O-N.
B-L-A-C-K-M-O-N. I'm sorry, say it one more time.
B-L-A-C-K-M-O-N.
O-N, okay, and it's C-A-R-O-L.
Yes, that's correct.
And the Quitman Community Development Organization, can you spell Quitman?
Teresa, I'll send you the information.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. You folks want to introduce yourselves real quickly to our guests so they know who they're talking with?
This is Michael Novick from KPFK, a local station board in Los Angeles.
Teresa Allen from KPFT in Houston.
Dina Colbert from New York City.
Janice Lane Ewart from KFBI Radio in Minneapolis and St. Paul.
Diana Casnais, KPFT, Houston.
Sean Rhodes from WBAI in New York.
Okay. Carol and Robert, would you introduce yourselves and explain why what happened and just the history of how we've our paths have crossed?
Okay. Robert, would you like me to start? Hello? Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Robert? Okay. Anyway, my name is Carol Blackman, and I'm a consultant, and I work with the Quitman County Development Organization, which is what's considered a mature CDC. It's roughly 37 years old, I think. And Senator Jackson is the CEO of the organization and has been there many years and in the legislature maybe the last 8 to 12 years. We have been a voice in the community across the life of the organization, helping to give strength and voice to the disenfranchised in that rural community. Dr. King was visiting there and had actually planned the Poor People's March on Washington, which was that mule train at the time of his death, and they said that this area was so poor that he cried there. Well, anyway, around that time or shortly thereafter, sometime after that, the CDC was formed and has been engaged in direct services, housing, education, youth leadership development, as well as civic participation and economic development activities and small business loans. So, and they also used to run a credit union. And so we are part of a network of forward-thinking Mississippians and are based in the North Mississippi Delta. So back in 2007, some of our partners in our loose-knit community development group contacted us and told us about Pacifica Radio and the fact that Pacifica... is that you, Senator? Guess not. And the fact that Pacifica was actually trying to get the word out to African-American groups and to community, grassroots communities to let them know about the open window to apply for the non-commercial educational radio license and construction permits. And so Chris Maxwell was serving as their consultant. We spoke several times with Ursula over the phone, and we talked to Chris over the phone. He actually had a sense of where the open licenses were geographically and worked with groups like ours to try and help identify where they were and who might be eligible to apply for that particular site. So we did apply. Pacifica connected us with a group of professional attorneys and communications engineers based in the Oakland and Berkeley area in California, who worked very closely with us through the application process and held our hands the entire way, charged us very, very little money. We know that we have to still owe them something, but we paid what they sent us in the bill. And lo and behold, about 15 to 18 months later, we heard from that attorney group that while they were actually checking through the FCC site, they noticed that we had gotten recommended for the issuance of a construction permit. At that time, we learned that there was a competing group who actually challenged the FCC ruling. And so after several months, FCC made essentially the same ruling again. All the while, the Pacifica reference lawyers are working closely with us for very minimal amounts. And so they again responded.
Hello.
Yes?
I can't hear anyone.
Hello?
Serene, we're in the middle of the meeting. You cannot hear anyone speaking?
Hello?
Carol, go ahead.
Oh, okay. To make a long story short, the opposing group actually challenged our recommendation for licensure three different times. So we were tied up over the last 7 years and were basically working with the lawyers to respond to each one of those challenges. And we're told that that our recommendation was placed in tolling, which meant that the clock had stopped ticking on it until the challenge issue was resolved. Well, we learned that in late April of this year that the final ruling had been made by FCC, and our group had been recommended for the construction permit. And so we're overjoyed with that. I met Ursula at the recent National Federation of Community Broadcasters conference. I kind of hunted her down so that I could tell her our story personally, because we're really so overjoyed with what this means for a community where there was sketchy public radio access, and we'll be providing first-time service to a group of at least 17,000 individuals. We have since started to develop a partnership with the community college there in Coahoma County called Coahoma Community College to actually place the station on their campus as one of our partners. We will work with them to structure an MOU to help get that done. And they will, in turn, implement a communications radio-related class but they will include radio training and other training that students can gain at the station into their curriculum. And that way we will have ready access to a number of young people who are also being trained for future jobs. And we have Ursula, I remember the contact person who I couldn't remember that had worked for the radio stations, and it's the CEO for Clear Channel.
Uh-huh.
Whose brother has said to us that he's very interested in looking at ways that he could assist us in the community mm-hmm. college in moving the station forward. We're mm-hmm. also talking with the Delta Regional Authority, an economic development group that was formed during the Clinton White House years, about working with them in the local plan and development district. We're working with the mayor, the community college, and other community leaders who would make up the board to develop local kind of listening groups to let them know about the station, what the community's role would be in putting it together, as well as having listening groups that would help to design what the station programming would be like.
Mm-hmm. So, Carol, can I just break in for a minute here and give folks mm-hmm. a perspective on what the story you're telling them? This is really the most amazing thing because you have to understand this filing window happened in 2007. And Carol's group was contacted actually through a project that Heather Gray started, and we followed through with here on the affiliates program to reach out to people in the South, and had a grant given to us to try and connect with people all over the South to let them know about this filing window. This was 7 years ago, and the fact that and I told Carol she really had just become like a line item on my spreadsheet that seemed to be like a dead end. And so the most amazing thing is that 7 years later, this is probably one of the very last groups to receive a permit from the SCC from that filing window. And it's really a most miraculous thing that you survived so many challenges to your application. So just really congratulations.
Well, thank you. And what we learned on the way through that process is if we had missed responding to any one of those challenges, the challenging group could have actually acquired the license rather than us.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the folks working with you from the Radio for People Coalition, they really are the best in the country.
We know that. And we really appreciate we really appreciate y'all connecting us with them. And as a matter of fact, I met one of the lead attorneys while at that conference the day before I met you, Michael Cousins.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we're excited because Pacifica has a long history with Mississippi. We have another affiliate down in Greenville, Mississippi, as you know. So we're very excited about coming to fruition our goal of helping build community radio in the South. So,
we're happy to be working with you, and we want to thank you and Pacifica for everything that you've done to this point to help us get where we are.
Does anybody have any questions or comments for Carol?
Just congratulations that you hung in for 7 years. It's amazing.
Well, thank you. We didn't know what else to do. And the CEO was very dogmatic about it. I think he really likes a fight. So he just kind of dug his heels in.
Question for Ursula, please?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's Serena. Sorry to be late, and my phone's dying, so I'm not going to be with you long. But it's great. I didn't catch the name of the station when I joined.
Okay, we don't have call letters yet. We just received the construction permit go-ahead back in April, so we have submitted a battery of possible call letters for the station.
And is this part of Project South, Ursula?
Pardon me?
Was this part of Project South?
Yes, this is Project South. And now, Carol, I also understand you have very large. What is your wattage?
We 50,000 watts.
So, yeah, that's big. That's like WBAI.
That's awesome.
That's a big station. Carol?
I know.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you tell me, do you have a website?
The website for the organization is www.qcdo.org.
Q, and then C like in Charlie, D like in Delta, O.
Yeah.
Okay, good. And so are you going to have a competition for people to suggest which call letters you take?
I don't know. I don't know that we had thought about that.
I know that in Norman, Oklahoma, they went with KVOY, which is the Voice of Oklahoma.
They had
a little competition on their website, I guess, to kind of get drum up some enthusiasm for the station.
That's great.
Yeah. So some of you may know Clarksdale. It's Clarksdale is famed as being the location of the crossroads. So it plays a big role in the mythology and development of blues, right, Carol?
Yes, exactly. And Morgan Freeman, it's the place where Morgan Freeman has his blues club called Ground Zero, and where he also had a fine dining restaurant.
Yeah, it's quite a destination location.
Yes.
This is Sean in New York. I have a question for Carol.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Carol. Congratulations.
Hi. Thank you.
And I understand that you got your permit to construct in April.
Yes.
Do you have any ideas on what type of programming you'll have? Will it be talk, music, a mixture?
I think it will be a mixture. Even while we were developing the application, we had spoken with the engineer in developing that portion of it and had indicated that it would have some talk and music. And I mentioned that the Economic Development Group, DRA, was interested in supporting, helping get the station up. Well, their interest is in connecting that the group of people who will have access to those airways to a source to learn about job opportunities and other economic development activities in the area.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you all. Thank all of Pacifica.
Okay, well, Carol, we really look forward to hearing what happens next. And, keep
in
touch, okay?
We'll stay in touch.
Are we going to ask, is Mr. Jackson not on?
Is Mr. Jackson there?
He left. Let's see. Wait a minute.
I was just going to say, if he was still on, maybe he might want to say a few words, but if he's gone, he's gone. While we're waiting, Ursula, did you get my email? I asked you to send the agenda out to the listserv because I'm
okay.
Coming back when I send things to the listserv.
Okay, I'll do that. I did meet Mr. I met the senator once when I was down in Greenville, Mississippi, because he was very supportive with the station down there too. So he's been very supportive. Of
okay, he's here.
Okay,
thank
hi.
You.
What happened to you? Your phone dropped the call.
I just never, you never came back. So I just.
Oh, I didn't. I'm so sorry. This is my first time trying to do this. I'm so sorry.
Well, would he like to say anything? Would you like to say maybe from a perspective of like community development? What kind of feelings do you have about this project?
Well, I think it has a major potential impact in this area. You know, we're in Mississippi and in the Delta, and not much has changed in terms of race relations and that sort of thing. And in the past, I would say 6-8 years, it's just been hard to for people to have a voice, and not only you know, in the airwaves, but also the printed media. In community-based development, you could always go to your local newspaper to put PSAs in about the different projects you're doing and so forth. But nowadays, they even want you to pay for those. And so things have really just got tight in terms of people having a voice. So this is just a godsend. And whoever it was back in 2007 from Pacifica that encouraged us to do this, I just wanted to say thank you. We're at this point now where we do have, you know, the FCC permit to build a station, so we just need to take that next step.
Yeah,
and I don't know if Carol explained to you, you know, how hard a task that's been to try to just get the FCC license. I mean, we did the application in 2007, and just 2014, we finally got, you know, final permission from FCC to get started with building.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And, yeah, the Delta is very flat, so you're going to go really far with those 50,000 watts.
Yes. And, you know, we're just looking forward to that day when we can flip the switch and
get her going.
Communicating. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Senator, I know that you've been very helpful in both Greenville and Clarksdale, and so we just want to thank you for your support, because I think it was very crucial to have somebody with your stature helping with a project like this. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So if there are no other questions for us, thanks again for this opportunity.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Is there any point of information?
Go ahead.
Yes. I'm sorry, but I heard about listserv or some kind of group list. I'm not in any, I'm part of this committee, but I'm not in any listserv. That first. Second of all, I would want to know where I can have information about the affiliates, because I was checking the website and I cannot find most of the minutes last year, this year, or some of the even the audio of these meetings. Please direct me where I can do that, because you know, I'm new and I want to know what is being done already. Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
You can go to kpftx.org, and almost every one of our meetings has been there's an audio that you can listen to. There were maybe maybe two meetings for a point. At one point, there was a decision, I guess, from the board that when there was a staff shortage, they thought, well, we'll only do audios of committees and not a task force. But Bill Crozier and Otis McClay primarily have been very generously offered to stream our meetings, and they are on KPFTX. And the minutes that I've taken are attached. And since you're not, if you're not on the listserv, I'll be happy to send you minutes after. I mean, I have minutes of every meeting, especially the last 2 years. They were in the wrong format, and I've changed the format. And I think I've gone back like 2 years and have sent them to Otis to be attached to our, you know, at KPFTX. So you should see our minutes on KPFTX.
May I explain? I just less than an hour ago I checked KPFTX.org, and the only audios of this year that I can find are January 16, April 10, and May 8. April 3rd, March 15, February 13 are not there.
I tell you what, if you call me tomorrow morning, I will be happy to get that straightened out with you, because I certainly have sent them in.
I understand. What I'm trying to ask, Teresa, is we should have the minutes in kpfdx.org. That's what I'm saying. If you are in this committee serve list or whatever you call it, it's fine. But these are minutes for open meetings and should be in kpfdx.org. It may be something.
Well, first of all, we are not a committee. We are a task force. But I have worked, I have sweat blood to try to get those minutes out. And I will be happy to discuss this with you tomorrow morning. And if we do not get it, you're welcome to give me 50 lashes at our next meeting. Because I have sent them at least for the last 2 years, because I had to change the format, as I said.
If you send me your email address to Ursula, URSULA at Pacifica. Pardon me?
I have yours.
Please send me your email and I'll put you on the list, sir.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. The Ursula, that was just awesome. Thank you so much. Now, did you send out the agenda?
Yes, I did.
Okay. The next item on the agenda is the NFCB, a discussion of NFCB with Janice Lane Ewart and Ursula Rudenberg.
Well, I think we already did that.
Okay, fine. And the next item is the Affiliate Task Force Report with PNB Director Janice Lane Ewart and Ursula Rudenberg. And there will be a discussion of GRC planning.
So, Ursula, I'll just begin really quickly and inform the task force that Dina, myself, and Ursula have been meeting for the last 3 months, sometimes every week, sometimes every other week, to really fine-tune a perspective, I would call it, that gives a general overview of the proposed joint underwriting project that would be attended by affiliate stations that are interested in participating. We've paid a lot of attention to mission and vision, to process, proposed process. We've worked diligently on the building of a budget and several other key items that would allow anyone with whom we are planning to work to have a very good understanding of what is projected to happen during the pilot process of the proposed project.
I think that's a pretty good description. Dina, do you have anything you'd like to say about it?
No.
Okay. I would just like to say I feel a sense of urgency in terms of completing this and bringing this to the organization to be adopted in whatever form it can be. It's been a very, very difficult time for the affiliates program because of the confusion at the upper management level of this organization, and because right now we are so intertwined with their office, and yet we are very low priority, in fact, for their office, it makes it very, very hard for us to move forward and on many ways. I just feel that it's an urgent matter to move forward with finding a way that we can have a structure that allow the affiliate program to succeed. Right now we don't have that. And the last few months have really demonstrated that. And I'm less, polite about it than I used to be because I feel it's become more urgent. And last month I reported that the foundation owes me a great deal of money and nothing's changed in that area. And I had submitted a budget which would pay for the expenses that had been borrowed from me. And hoping to hear something from the office, from the organization, allowing us to move forward with that. We are working intensely here at the office on billing the affiliates, and it's a lot of work. It's not something that just, it's not free money. It comes from a lot of work, especially since the national office really screwed up the billing last year and the beginning of this year, quite frankly. And so it would be very positive thing to learn that some of this hard-earned money actually is used to support the program, which would be a change. So I'm speaking frankly because these are the days where this is how it is. So I do feel that creating a unit where we would have more control over the management of the program would be extremely helpful towards the success of this program.
I have nothing else to add, Ursula. I think
yes.
you've said it very well. Our work as a subgroup of the Pacifica affiliates is scheduled to have a final document prepared at the latest by the 1st of August, and would then move forward in determining the next best steps and presenting it to the Pacifica National Board.
Yeah. And, I want to make clear, this is not a criticism of any one particular person or faction or this is a criticism of the structure under which we're working, which is designed to essentially use the affiliates program as a slush fund and not address any of the administrative difficulties that are involved with creating this money. It's not, I would say just about everybody I know has participated in this, including myself, and it's just time for it to stop. It's not a criticism of any particular person or faction. It's just a structure that does not work, period.
Point of information?
Yeah.
Is it possible for the task force to write what we need to write, to ask that any specific monies coming into the affiliate program starting as of the date of our proposal go towards paying Pacifica's debt to you off first before any other
before that money is used for any other purpose.
Is that a motion?
I'm asking if it's possible. I don't know the legalities. Is it possible for us as a task force to support Ursula and ask for, I mean, what Ursula's team is doing is they're billing the affiliates for last year and this year. They're still trying to straighten that mess out, which Pacifica created. So there's monies coming in, and I'm asking, is it possible that the task force make a proposal that the next, I don't know how much money it is, whether it's $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, but whatever the amount of money is that is owed Ursula directly, that it come from the affiliate monies to be paid to Ursula first before it goes anywhere else.
I want to ask a question too. So
that's my question. I don't know who can answer it. I would imagine the board members that are on the call should answer it.
Well, if you put in the form of a motion, then we can discuss it.
I'll second the motion, Dina.
Thank you.
So how do you want me to word the motion?
I'm not very good at wording, but it seems like that the affiliate the 2014 affiliate task force proposes that that any monies that come into the Pacifica Foundation from the affiliate program, that the first, and I don't know the amount of money, that the first blank amount of money, $10,000, $15,000, that is owed Ursula from back from reimbursable funds be paid back immediately from that money before it is used for anything else. Now that may not be the best wording, but somebody can help me out here, I'm sure. I'm asking for help.
Let me read it back as I heard it. The 2014 Affiliate Task Force requests that any money that came to the Pacifica Foundation through the affiliate program be first used to reimburse the affiliate director. How do you want to finish it?
I think you have to add, as of this date, that any monies coming in to the affiliate program.
As of this date, that any money that came to the Pacifica Foundation through the affiliate program be first used to reimburse the affiliate director for what? How do you want me to fill that in?
Expenses outlaid on behalf of the affiliate program.
Okay. Do we want to say anything that she's submitted receipts for, or that she's anything like that?
I don't know the legalities of it, but I assume that they have been submitted, and what we're now doing is we're asking that they be directly sent, paid back to Ursula.
Okay.
That the affiliate task force is in support of Ursula Rudenberg, the affiliate, the 2014, so add that
okay
at the beginning. In support of the affiliate coordinator or the affiliate manager. What's your title, Ursula?
I don't know. I don't know. You can call me affiliate coordinator. I don't really have a title.
Okay. In support.
What is your title on your job description?
She doesn't have a job description.
I don't really have a job description. The original title was affiliate coordinator, so I think we should go with that.
Okay. In support of the affiliate coordinator, the 2014 affiliate task force requests comma, as of the date, as of this date, comma, that any money that came, that comes to the Pacifica Foundation through the affiliate program be first used to reimburse the affiliate director for expenses outlaid on behalf of the affiliate program.
Janice, is that wording strong enough?
I think so.
I do have one concern about it because...
is it direct enough?
I would say that I'd have my best response would be given if I can see it in writing because it's harder for me to track it by just reading it.
Right.
And it would be the minutes of this meeting will contain the proposed motion if it's in fact approved by the rest of the people on this committee. And so it would also be presented from that perspective. I think that it would be logical for one of us, meaning that there are two other, at least two other Pacifica National Board members that are on this call that would potentially take the responsibility for ensuring that it would go through, it needs to go to the Finance Committee, and then the Finance Committee would potentially make a recommendation that it be approved by the board. I'm not aware of a process that would allow the task force to take the motion directly to the board since we are a task force as opposed to a committee.
I understand that, but I do believe we need to do something in support of Ursula. She's been asking for this money for, I mean, it's ridiculous that she's using her own money to run a program to begin with.
I agree, Dina. Remember, you're speaking to the choir. You're not trying.
I know.
Yeah.
So, I do have one request, though, with this motion, is that it be stipulated that it's money after our salaries are paid because the money is also used to pay our salaries.
Okay.
Are you suggesting that they would give you this money but not give you your salary? Is that what you're saying?
I'm just saying the wording is that the first thing that to be done with money is to pay my debt back, and I'm just saying that I would rather it not somehow end up weirdly preempting us getting paid. That's all.
in other words, following the payment of other expenses related to the Pacifica affiliate program.
Yeah.
Then the rest of the motion.
I have to say that, I'm afraid to put that wording in there because what the national office and the national board has decided were expenses in the past of the affiliate program actually were very loosely held. Like they considered like expenses to Democracy Now, for example, high figures, you know, would be affiliate expenses rather than sister station expenses. Do you remember that? Do you remember their approach to that? I think it was during the Lonnie Hicks administration where he said, oh, the affiliates are costing us all of this money. So I'm reluctant to put that in there. Mike, I'd like to ask a few questions. Have you discussed this with the CFO, the reimbursement for this?
I don't have a communication with the CFO.
But Ursula, is it my understanding that you have covered this topic with the interim executive director?
Yes.
Okay.
Adriana?